Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Tuesday morning, presented by Green Ventures Landscaping. For homes and businesses that want to stand out, not blend in, visit greenventureslandscaping.com. Live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Taking your thoughts, welcoming your comments at 615-737-1025. We do have one more spot to give away today in the Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League, when we will do that later this hour. So keep your eyes peeled for that. Joe, a lot of conversation earlier in the show on the Cam Ward front. Blake Bedingfield from PaulKuharski.com offering his thoughts on what he's seen from the Titans to this point in the preseason. Concerned about Ward, said struggling with being on time and accurate, even with simple passing concepts. Talked about he's late getting the ball out too often. He's not putting the ball exactly where it needs to be to allow for, you know, a cleaner run after catchability for the receivers. You know, we talked about the IO Manor play where he was short on the throw. There was too much loft. DB got around and got back in there. Probably could have been pass interference, but got back on the play. On Sunday against Seattle. So we know this. I mean, this has not been an inspiring preseason to this point for the Titans starters or for Cam Ward. A lot of interesting discussion earlier about, like, where exactly Ward is right now, how much progress needs to be made there. And I guess, Joe, kind of the biggest question where I sit right now, based on what we've seen to this point in the preseason, and not just to the preseason, dating back to last year, so going the full picture of Cam Ward that we've seen to this point, how much progress can he realistically make between now and the end of the year? Like, that is a big question mark to me, right? Like, how much better does he get between now and the end of the year when the regular season comes around? Is he still struggling with, you know, basic accuracy? Like, is he still struggling with, you know, just the inconsistency it seems like he's dealing with right now from play to play, just in terms of not necessarily where to go with the football, but just the delivery of the football? How much progress gets made between now and the end of the year? And that's what I just don't know. Like, we see guys throughout the course of a season, Joe, improve a lot, right? Like, I mean, Ward improved a lot last year from where it started to where it ended up. Now, I think it's been over exaggerated from Titans fans as to exactly how much better he got as the season went on last year. But it's a really interesting question to me, because I feel like there's a lot of progress that not only him, but this team needs to make from where they are right now. And I just wonder what's realistic in terms of what that timeline is going to look like for him.
Yeah, and the Cam do's exaggerate how much improvement, and the what are you doings exaggerate the other way. And the reality is, yeah, there was some progress. Was it related to, like, Callahan being gone or not? I don't know. But to answer your question, I have a bunch of questions back. Is the offensive line actually going to be decent, run it well, and also give him better protection this year?
Yep.
Tate, there's Robinson. I mean, Robinson's going to be a constant catch guy. Is Tate that dude? Is he going to come out as a rookie and we're going to see, like, okay, there it is in real games? Is Dable what his reputation says he is in terms of developing quarterbacks, putting quarterbacks in good positions, coming up with game plans that really make it easy for a quarterback? Is he that good of an OC? If all those things around him are what I think they could be, look, he's not ever going to be Mr. Laser Accuracy. He's going to miss throws. But if all those things are better and he doesn't speed up in his head and he can actually settle himself down in that pocket and hit some intermediate stuff and diversify, like, what the passing game is that we've seen in the preseason, then, you know, I think there's a really good chance that he's better. You have to be able to, like we've said earlier in the show, one, take the easy stuff, move the chains, stay on top of things to take some of those shots and make some of those plays. And he's going to miss throws, but, like, I don't think that his like lack of accuracy is necessarily fatal, you know, but other things have to be better, and then he just has to just make more plays. Like, we've seen enough Cam Ward stretches, series, even games. You know, earlier someone brought up like Saleh. You brought it up. Saleh said like Cam Ward was one of the reasons. Well, go back and watch the game last year when they played at San Fran. Cam was pretty good. He was pretty – like, that's a game where I was like, okay, you can start to see it with him. And I'm not surprised that Saleh, having seen that up close, was like, okay, there's something here with this kid, you know? I do think that right now – and I'm not trying to, like, join the Cam dues, okay? I'm staying in the Cambivalent where everybody should be. But I do feel like it's tilting with the people who are were all out on him and were always going to be out on him. Or just people who are freaking out a little bit too much about two preseason games.
Yeah, I would agree. I think there's freak out about two preseason games. I would also say, though, like, if, you know, I think there's a balance there, because I think people have gone too far the other way in this conversation, too, in terms of, well, it's just preseason, nobody cares. Well, it's not just the preseason. Like, these are concerns that date back really from the moment that he was drafted, and it's all about the total picture of what this is going to look like moving forward here. So, I mean, look, I am relatively unchanged from where I was a couple weeks ago in terms of my long-term outlook for him. You know, we've talked about this. I wouldn't have drafted him. You know, I think we both said that at the time. They did. So, after they do it, it doesn't make any sense to relitigate, you know, what you would have done at the draft. It's all about gathering the information necessary to determine whether or not he's going to be a franchise quarterback. I still think there's a chance he might be. Like, I haven't given up that hope that there's a chance that he may turn into a franchise quarterback. I do like some of the skills that he brings to the table. I am majorly concerned that the accuracy is just going to hinder him. And maybe it doesn't hinder him to the point where he can't be a starting quarterback, right? But there are levels to that. Like, there are plenty of guys that are good enough to be a starting quarterback. There are not a lot of guys that you can win at a high level with. And to me, when you draft somebody at number one overall, by the time that story is done, they don't all have to be Josh Allen. They don't all have to be Patrick Mahomes. But I would say this, Joe, like, if you draft somebody at number one overall, you better feel good about your chances to eventually win a Super Bowl with them, right? Like, that should be kind of the baseline. And that looks different to, you know, there are different ways to do that, but you better feel pretty good about that.
Yeah, which means you probably at a minimum need to be in the middle of the pack. There are outliers, but you can be a middle-of-the-pack quarterback and win a Super Bowl. I mean, Jalen Hurts, I think people probably downgrade him more than he should be, but that's about what he is. Purdy has been close, and maybe he's better than that. I guess what? He came in 11th this year in the tiers thing.
Yep.
Texture says, is it possible that what made Cam great in college, being elusive, off-platform throws, et cetera, just doesn't translate to the NFL because he doesn't have the athleticism advantage anymore? I think the idea of Cam turning into something he isn't naturally, like Purdy, is going to take away from what got him picked in the first place. At the same time, I don't think he can play the way he did in college. It's a tough situation. But interesting thoughts. First of all, yeah, I mean, I think there's some truth to that. And you know, with Daboll, what's interesting is, obviously, Josh Allen is, the ultimate example in this league of someone actually improving their accuracy. Before or since, and maybe never again, I don't know that we'll see a story quite like that. It was so bad in a couple of years. I mean, really, it was pretty bad. And got better and better. And he still, by the way, he sails them. He makes bad. But another thing with him is tremendous athleticism, and just the running game element is such a threat, right? I mean, he's just like unbreakable. And then Daniel Jones, another terrific job of Daboll, and a guy who I think now, like last year, look at how he played in Indy. There's another guy. He's one of the fastest quarterbacks in the league, or at least he was before he tore his Achilles, just straight line speed. So that's one thing Daboll had with those guys that was a nice element that you could use, and he used well. And with Cam, you know, he doesn't move very well. So he's great at eluding. He's great at extending, keeping his eyes downfield. These are the best plays he's made. But yeah, I mean, I think there's some of that. The athleticism advantage looks different for everybody when they go from college to NFL.
Joe, I have some breaking news. Are you ready?
Uh-oh.
Pete Thamel has put it out there Vanderbilt senior Blaze Berlewitz will be the starting quarterback to open the season for Vanderbilt. He'll make his first career start against Austin Peay. Five-star true freshman Jared Curtis will also play in the game, marking his first career snap. So this coming from Pete Thamel. Blaze Berlewitz, the starter to open the year for Vanderbilt. So we were talking about that less than an hour ago, Joe, and here it is from Pete Thamel.
So now, does Thamel actually deserve the credit here?
I'm just – Ian sent me Thamel's
tweet. That's the first one I saw.
Okay. All right. I just want to make sure. Okay. Well, there you go.
We'll dive into who broke the story later. No. I'm disappointed it wasn't you.
Yeah, I know. If I wasn't sitting here blabbing, you know. Well, we can react to that. I'm not – like I said earlier in the show, I won't be shocked if he's the starter. Some Vanderbilt fans are going to melt down. They're going to melt down about this. I would advise them to not melt down. Man, there's some people around this team who kind of cover this team who, man, you got to check your sources, too. But whatever, that's separate. This is going to, we'll see. Will it be a full meltdown or is it just like a bottle rocket amount of heat? I think it's going to be a little bit hotter than that.
We'll find out. Blaze Berlewitz has been named the starter for Vanderbilt at quarterback for their opener against Austin Peay. We'll take your reaction to that. A lot of your reaction coming on Cam Ward as well. We'll take all of it. 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Today, the Nashville Sounds take on Jacksonville. First pitch at 6:05. You can catch all the action on 94.9 The Fan. Presented by Twin Peaks, Family Leisure, and Social Cantina. We will have a spot to give away coming up here in a little bit in our Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League. So we have two spots that we've already given away, which believe we have, what, we got seven more spots to give away? Six more? Doing some quick math off the top of my head. I think six more. Six more spots to give away. So we will give one of those away.
I trust you.
Today here on the program. And I am formulating a plan right now with the help of AI, Joe, to give a spot away. Told you we're going to do things a little different this year with the spots we give away.
Oh, wow.
I got one I'm trying today. We'll see how it works.
Okay.
See how it goes. I got people doing construction over the top of my head. Bob the Builder with us on the program here today. A lot of stuff going on out here right now. Blaze Berlewitz named the starter for Vanderbilt for their game against Austin Peay. That coming out just a few minutes ago. Pete Thamel, I would assume, among others, putting it out there. One texter says, LOL, Vandy finally gets a good thing going and starts self-sabotaging themselves. Go Balls, baby. This is from a Tennessee fan on the text line.
Yeah, I think self-sabotaging themselves is redundant. But, yeah, again, hey, listen, have fun, Tennessee fans. You know, that's worth – you got your freshman is starting, theirs isn't. I'm telling you, this is – I got Vanderbilt fans texting me. It's like people are acting like this is some kind of like massive like mistake. I think Clark Lee knows a little something about like coaching a team and making decisions like this. I mean, again, I think at some point I would bet right now that Jared Curtis starts games for Vanderbilt this year. This is not, to me, some shocking outcome. And maybe, I mean, I said earlier in the show when I said I wouldn't be shocked if Blaze starts, I also said every time I've seen him, he's been better. Now, other people have been out there. We heard Gentry, and he was just like, this is like mind-numbing to him that it's even a – so I have to admit, I haven't seen, obviously, nearly as much as people who cover that as a beat. But this is not a crazy decision. It's not. It's not a crazy decision. And if you can let a true freshman – you know, the difference with this in Tennessee is Tennessee's choosing between a redshirt freshman and a true freshman. There's a difference, but it's not a veteran, right?
Right.
It's not, and not that Blaze has played a lot. He played some last year, but Blaze has been in college for a long time, but in this offense for many years. It is a different situation than what Tennessee has going on between two basically freshmen.
Sean says, Vols fan, of course it's redundant. There we go. Just do the self-sabotaging themselves.
There we go. Get after each other, guys. Right. Get after each other.
That's fine. Yeah, it's Austin Peay. When NC State comes around, we'll see kind of what the quarterback situation looks like then. I would assume Curtis is going to play a lot against Austin Peay and against Delaware. And that's the other good part about like this 5-for-5 thing. Nobody has to worry about like this stupid red shirt stuff anymore, Joe. You can just, you know, play your guys. So that part of it's good. So he's going to play a lot. And now that it's official that Berlewitz is starting the first game, I am very interested to see kind of like what the timeline puts together here. Because, like, if you're Berlowitz, too, you hear all this, and, like, you probably know, like, at some point, the plan long-term for Vanderbilt is Jared Curtis. But, like, if you're him, it's like, well, what happens if I play really well? You just going to take me out? Like, you just going to not play me anymore because Jared Curtis is behind me? Like, that part of it is going to be interesting if he plays well. What do you do?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, if he plays well and you're winning, well, he's going to keep playing, right? I mean, you don't make that move. But again, if that's the case, then you have just had a freshman year for your five-star quarterback that Tennessee wanted and had for Nico, that Ohio State wanted and had for C.J. Stroud, that Alabama wanted and had for Bryce Young. These are recent examples. I mean, it's way more likely that a true freshman in a power league with a team with real aspirations sits than plays, right? So if I don't think it'll happen because I do have questions about Blaze in terms of mistakes and things like that and against better defenses. I guess I have some doubts, but yeah, I mean, if he plays well and you keep going with him, if you're winning, you know, Vanderbilt, I mean, look, it's to me this year is realistically, it's have a winning record against the schedule they have a winning record and get to a bowl game. I mean, I think that's like what you're looking for. But I mean, you're trying to win, man. You're trying to win right now. And what's that?
Don't tell them that.
Yeah, well, no, and that's fine. They should have higher aspirations than that. You know, I'm looking at so he did get a redshirt year, actually, and he's listed as a senior, but it looks to me like he should have at least 1 year of eligibility after this year. And of course, yeah, they just did the 5-5, so yeah, at least one. So yeah, that's the thing. Like, even if he gets overtaken early in the season, this is huge for him. If he can put some good stuff on tape, and then next year he'll be somewhere else.
So what you're saying is Curtis is going to be the quarterback in Vanderbilt 2028. Get away a couple years.
I'm saying Curtis will be the quarterback in 2027,
I'm just joking.
Now in 2028, his last year before he is the number one overall pick, he will also be the quarterback.
There we go.
This is huge for Blaze in terms of one, just the opportunity now, but also if he plays well, then he is going to have an opportunity to get in the portal and get paid somewhere next year. I mean, it's a big deal rather than if Curtis plays right away and it's like, here you go. You know, Blaze gets no run. I mean, it's a total unknown. And I'm not saying that's a factor or should be a factor in the decision, but it is something to consider here. I mean, it's a big deal for him.
One text says, longtime Vandy fan, I'm willing to go with the judgments of Lee, Kill, and Beck here. Yeah, I mean, they've earned that. You know, another texter pointing out that it says Curtis is going to play as well. So it doesn't sound like this is some, like, set-in-stone decision for the season, and that's not surprising either. We'll see kind of what they looks like. I would assume that the first two games you're probably going to see a healthy amount of Jared Curtis, right? I mean, they've got Austin Peay in Delaware, and then the schedule stiffens up a little bit, and you've got NC State, and then you get into conference play. So I think the real question is going to be, you know, when that happens and you start to get into Power Four competition, what does the quarterback situation look like then? But, you know, I wouldn't freak out that Jared Curtis isn't starting yet. Number one, maybe that says really good things about Berlowitz. Number two, you know, by the time conference play rolls around here, I think you'll get a better idea of where the quarterback picture truly is.
Kids want what they want. All kids want to play. We know this.
Sure.
If Jared Curtis has a smart agent, has a good family, has a decent support system, because the texture here is like, well, if he isn't starting by the end of the year, he's in the portal next year. You know, do you think that in that building on a daily basis where these people talk to each other every day, do you think that they don't understand, you know, all the ramifications? And also, do you think it's possible if he has a smart agent, if he has smart parents, if he has a good support system, that they actually don't hate the idea of him easing in and don't? I mean, if I'm them, you said it earlier, Robbie, I'm thinking about that game in Athens. I'm like,
yeah.
You know, of course, you're also excited about the possibility of playing, but like, this is the smart move. generally speaking, in college football, five star or not, if you have another option, it is great to be able to give people time. In the NFL, Fernando Mendoza, I'm not calling the Raiders a smart organization, but he's going to get this year, a part of this year, ease into it. At some point, I'm sure he'll take over the job. I'm sure Curtis will too. I'd bet money on it. But this meltdown of like, oh my God, he's going to get in the portal. I mean, give these people who get paid all this money over there to try to win football games a little more credit than that.
We will get back into the Cam Ward conversation coming up next. A lot of your thoughts to get to on our text line. Keep them coming. We will also give away a spot in our fantasy football league coming up next. I have a reward for some loyal listeners / viewers on the YouTube chat, and I've run something through AI that we'll get to coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. We have a spot to give away in our Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League. What I have done, Rex Road, I have taken some names in the YouTube chat that are very prominent members of our show, very involved in the chat, comment on pretty much a daily basis. Taking a lot of those names, a lot of you that I know are with us every day, and have put them together in one little pile. And I have asked Google Gemini to pick ourselves a winner, to pick us a winner for the Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League, one spot to give away. And this will probably not be the last YouTube chat thing that we do, but I did want to spice it up a little bit this year. So I've put a bunch of different names in the hat here. A lot of people that are very familiar with our YouTube chat that weigh in on our program all the time. And AI has come back with a winner. Joe, are you ready for what Google Gemini has determined will be the next spot in the Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League if this person is willing to accept?
I don't know if I love this or if you are speeding up the AI killing the entire human race with this, but let it rip.
They ran a news story yesterday on the Robot Olympics, and they're not ready yet. Like they still got some.
You're
work
adding
to do.
People to the database list here.
Yeah, I am.
Of the Skynet.
Yeah, I am. There's no doubt about that.
Oh well, they'll live.
All right.
Maybe.
Well, the winner, according to Google Gemini, of the fantasy football spot, if this person chooses to select it, on YouTube at JessSherry91.
All right.
JessSherry91. So, Jess.
Jess, a great poster.
You weigh in on the YouTube chat all the time. If you are willing to accept, here's what we'll do. You can give Ian a call, 615-737-1025, and we will get that information taken care of you. But I know Jess is paying attention on the YouTube chat right now because she just commented a few minutes ago. So, we'll see how that goes. I do have, if Jess does not want to accept, AI has also given me a runner-up option, and I will announce that if the moment calls for it. But we'll see. We'll see what that looks like.
Congrats to Jess. Great commenter. Always good stuff. Seems to think I'm funny, which is always a plus,
Yeah. You know.
Okay, she just texted. Crap, I heard my name. Yeah, do you want to be in the fantasy league, Jess? Let us know. AI has chosen you. I don't know if this also means that you're now going to be followed in your life, but... she's at work. Oh boy,
we're gonna get her fired. So we'll see how it goes.
She can text it in if that's easier.
Yeah, you can do that too. Text it in. That's fine. 615-737-1025.
She accepts.
That's good. There we go. Very nicely done. We will have more spots to give away this week. We will do them in different ways. Some will be via text line. Some will be via phone call. Some will be via YouTube chat. Different ways that we will get this done. I'm trying to be as fair as possible. So
I mean, we already got people whining, like Robert and Nashville. My bad for listening to a radio show on the radio.
We've given
one
spots
spot.
Away on the radio.
Yeah, most of the spots have been given away on the radio. This is one
matter
spot
of fact,
for YouTube.
I think like every spot in history, with the exception of Jess, and I think we gave away one spot last year on the YouTube chat. All the rest of them have been on the radio.
Yeah, I think last year just because there's a timing difference, right, in the answering of questions or whatever. But yeah, it's a great idea by you. I love what you're doing this year.
Thank you.
You may not quite measure up to me this year with your team, but you're a good commissioner.
We now have a commenter on the YouTube chat at RexRhodes_gout. So looking forward to that. Very much looking forward to that.
He or she says Google Gemini can't be trusted. So right. I don't trust any of this stuff. I don't use AI, but
I think they can handle a drawing, right? Like it's pretty simple baseline stuff.
Oh man, I had a great rant about AI. You just reminded me. I hope I remember it by tomorrow.
I hope so too.
It was something that came up yesterday. I'm like, see, it's going to get us all killed. Oh man. Okay, let me think about this.
Back on the
carry
cam,
on
the Cam front. Says they drafted Cam. This is from Sam on the text line. They drafted Cam because he could wow on tape on the Times plays breakdown. Did they ever evaluate him doing normal QB bleep? His timing sucks. He's inaccurate because his footwork sucks. I have no idea how he's picked number one overall. There's a reason he can't carve up a second string defense. He ain't good. This is from Sam on the text line, Joe. He would fall into the what are you doing category.
Maybe a psych ward. Close to the psych ward. Yeah, again, yes. I mean, have they evaluated? Sure. I mean, I watched Cam a lot. I didn't watch him much. You know, at Washington State, it was like, whoa, look at this dude. And I watched him a lot that year in Miami. And, yeah, he did regular QB stuff well. He made some ridiculous plays. If anybody remembers, like, the Florida game, some of the passes he made in that game, you're like, whoa. I think it was the Georgia Tech game. That's probably the game, the reason that I was against them drafting him. It's like, I don't know. The consistency and some of the decisions and some of the passes are just, I don't know, man. I just don't know if it's going to be as consistent as you need it to be. And I maybe end up being dead wrong, by the way, still today, right now, dead wrong. But, yeah, of course they evaluate all that. Look, I think Cam Ward in any year with all that he had done with his measurables, with his interviews, I think in any year, any draft, he's a first-round pick. The number one pick, most years he's not that. But I think sometimes people are like, yes, this was a bad QB draft. He went number one. It was partially because of the bad QB draft. But don't get it twisted like he's a fourth-round pick most years. You know? I mean, he did plenty of regular QB stuff at a high level. It's just, it's 80% plus. They don't work out in this league, man. And I know that's no comfort to Titans fans who are like sick of high quarterback picks not panning out, but it's just way, way, way more likely than not.
It's way more likely than not. We'll see. It's interesting because I remember having the accuracy discussion with him coming out of college, right? And it was like, hey, every now and then he'll just miss some throws that you can't miss. This is also why sometimes completion percentage is not a complete stat. Because, I mean, look, I can pull up his college stats right now. I don't have him in front of me, but I'll pull him up real quick. You didn't look at Ward's stats in college and start to get worried about, like, completion percentage, right? Like, his last year at Miami, he completed 67% of his passes. Now, I think if you watched him play, Joe, there were some bubble screens that were in there, and there was, like, if you watched him, there were some moments where he was like, a little erratic with the ball out there. And that's what we talked about in the draft process. It's played out that way so far in the NFL. My question is, at what point, because I said this earlier in the show, I think we knew that some of that was going to be the case coming into the league. I'm not surprised by it. It's got to get better, but I'm not surprised by it. But I think the counter argument to that was, but he'll make, you know, a few plays every game that just not a lot of guys can make in the NFL, and that can be the difference in you winning and losing a football game. Well, I need to see some more of that because he's made some of those. He hasn't made a ton of those. Like, he's made some. And, you know, I said this, I think, yesterday after the game. I can live with some of the inaccuracy. Not all of it, but some of the inaccuracy if there are other parts of your game that are just spectacular, right? Like, if you're elite at keeping a play alive, keeping your eyes downfield, and making plays that, like, you know, four other guys in the league can make, I can probably live with you missing a wide-open guy 9 yards away every now and then. Like, right, you know, those things tend to offset itself. But if you're not doing that and you're missing stuff, like, that's when you get into, okay, well, this is not working. Like, it's got to get better. And look, I said we're a long way away from any sort of determination, but I understand people on the text line that say, and we've had a few of these today, he's the number one overall pick coming into his second year. He needs to be way further ahead than he is right now. And that's, to me, totally fair if you hold that opinion.
Absolutely. And, you know, look, I feel like there's been a on this particular program, this episode. There's been a fair amount of sort of reeling in Cam do's and what are you doings. You know, this texter says, enough about Cam. If Helm keeps his feet in bounds and our number four pick catches what hits his hands, we're talking blah, blah, blah for 100-plus yards. Calm down, people. Okay, so let's say those two plays, that completion to Tate, which is like, what, a 15-yard play, and that play to Ward, and Helm gets his feet in. We're having a fundamentally different conversation about Cam Ward? No. That just means that the people who are the what are you doings, who are way too far on that side, who are giving me, oh, his QBR compared to in the league right now, when these guys have played four or five series of football, that means they just don't have that data point to use. We're not having a different conversation. Those are two plays. It has been an entire season plus this preseason of inconsistency and concerns. Some good, some bad, not enough good, too much bad. Those two plays don't change the conversation.
Well, and also, again, yes, Tate should have caught the ball. Helm should have gotten his feet in bounds. But Saleh has talked about this. You know, Kuharsky went on a mini rant about this after the game the other night. I'm looking forward to talking to him about it tomorrow. Yes, those guys should have caught the ball. But, like, Ward should have thrown the ball better. Like, it wasn't a great throw to Tate. He should catch it.
It could have been
better.
It
wasn't a great throw. You know, he should have gotten rid of the ball sooner with Helm, and he was late to see it. And so the throw was drifting toward the sideline. So, again, like, those guys are NFL players, and I put the, you know, the main responsibility on those two plays to them for sure. But also, like, your quarterback needs to put the ball in a better spot. Like, all those things can be true at the same time, right? Like, it's, I think on any given play, people want to just find one person to put the blame on. And most of the time, not all the time, but most of the time in the NFL, when you're seeing miscues happen out there, it's a combination of things. And right. Those two plays are a combination of those things.
And all the things you said should bring people to the world of cambivalence. But the reality is most of the yelling about this is Cam do's against what are you doings.
Yes. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. A lot more to get to on Cam Ward. We'll do that coming up next. Wrap up the show. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Final segment of the day. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025 on the Cam Ward front. One texter says, we overexpect more and then we overreact. Overexpect and overreact.
Well, wait a minute. Actually, it says we overexpect more than we overreact.
Oh, I read that wrong.
Sorry. Which is, and actually, that's kind of like a mind bender, man. That's like Jack Handy, deep thoughts. I don't know if I can, I mean, I need more explanation of that. It's an interesting thought.
Expand.
Do we overexpect more than we overreact?
Okay. Well, are we overexpecting for the number one overall pick? What is overexpecting for the number one overall pick look like?
I think some people are. Like, I mean, at this point, and this is something I would have gone, I could go back to pre-draft and tell this to you. I think there are some people like, he's the number one pick. Like, he needs to be a freaking elite, one of the top handful of QBs in the league. I never thought that was going to be the case. You can win. You can win the whole damn thing if he's 12 to 16. That's what you're looking for. That may not excite people, but let me tell you something. If he's 12 to 16, he's freaking good. He's really freaking good. Will he get there? I have no idea. I wouldn't bet on it right now, but I'm just saying that's – so I think some the people who are clinging to number one overall pick, it's always going to be the truth, and it's like you took him number one overall, so what are we looking at here? But, you know, like when people are like, oh, I wouldn't trade him for Baker, like last year we had – right? Like we had those discussions. Well, you're crazy to me. I mean, yeah, like at this point, a known commodity, I'd sign up for that long term.
Well, I also think that the, you know, sometimes the unknown's exciting because the unknown, I mean, on the one hand, it scares you because what if he's bad? I think there's also an unknown of, okay, well, what if he's really good? You know, what if, you know, in the next year, we're talking about him growing to the point where he does enter into this discussion. But the bottom line is, I can't remember exactly when you did this exercise, but it was sometime last year, in the last year and a half. Like, when you go through and look at just, like, statistically how difficult it is to land one of those upper crust guys at the quarterback position, it's just really hard. It's really hard. And the odds are that it's not going to be that. So, in the meantime, you know, what level of play can he get to? If he's not going to be the elite of the elite, and I'm with you, like I got a tough time. I got a tough time seeing that. If he's not going to be the elite of the elite, what level can he get to, and what level is good enough to where you could say, all right, well, we can win with that, right? That to me is a – it's a moving target in the NFL, but it's an interesting question because that's where most teams are kind of operating, right? Like there's a lot of teams that feel like they have a good quarterback, maybe not a great quarterback. So what do you have to do to build a winner? Like, you know, Darnold's an interesting case study because, I mean, Darnold, you can make the argument if you look at the numbers over the last couple of years and certainly if you look at the win-loss record, I mean, you can make the argument he's moved into, like, elite quarterback status. It's still tough mentally for me to get there based on what we saw in the early part of his career. But the fact is he's been 14-3 in each of the last 2 years in the regular season. He just won the Super Bowl. So it's a different path than you're used to seeing. I mean, meanwhile, you know, whether it's Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen, Joe, I think everybody, if you lined up Sam Darnold, Lamar Jackson – and Josh Allen, most people drafting would take Darnold third in that, right? Yet Darnold just won the Super Bowl. So that shows you there's more than one way to win when it comes to all this. It's just a very interesting case study of where things are at in the NFL right now. Like the team around you, as long as you can get your quarterback level to a certain level of play, you don't have to be top five, but if you can get it to a certain level, you can win a Super Bowl. And now the question is, can you get to that?
And that's where I also just – it drives me crazy sometimes that people forget that's the point. The point is to win a championship. So the point is not we have a franchise quarterback. Of course you want that, and typically you have to have that to win a Super Bowl. I know it's a different era, but I'll go back to Steve McNair, the greatest Titan quarterback. He had a lot of 123-yard passing games, yep, where he ran for about 45 and he found two or three plays to win a freaking game, and he was tough as nails, and that's what you want. And I know, again, different era. But right now we have the Chargers, and every year Chargers fans say, oh, man, Justin Herbert, look at this guy. He's 6'5", and he throws it with a cannon arm, and he's athletic. Okay. Well, I'll take Jalen Hurts and championships, and you guys can just – and you know, Justin Herbert and Madison Beer can go to a – Hollywood premiere of Odyssey or whatever. Like, I mean, it's about winning. It's about winning championships. So can you win with Cam Ward? Can you win championships? I mean, right now he's not playing anywhere near a level that you would, but that's all that matters. Not that he has stats that go back and justify that he went number one overall. He's a piece, the most important piece, but he's a piece of the point, which is to win.
He is. And now the question is, can he do that? By the way, Madison Beer catching some strays from Rex Road.
Let me tell you something.
You guys enjoy your Hollywood premieres out there.
I have nothing negative to say, okay? I have no criticisms.
Connor Newt, right? And Madison Beer catching strays from Rex Road on today's program.
I did not rip Connor Newt today. I want that for the record. I would never rip him. I just, like, some things are correctable and some things aren't, you know? Like, we got to separate the different categories. It's just a suggestion. It's like constructive criticism. Ripping, that would be reserved for Big Joe and Vingan and
Ian,
others.
Would you take Cam Ward turning into Justin Herbert? Madison Beer aside.
Yeah, I think I would.
I think I would too.
Yeah.
Well, of course. Of course you would. Yes, absolutely. I mean, that'd be amazing.
He hasn't won, we pointed out, right? It's a big year for Herbert, but still, they made the playoffs at least.
It's true.
But again, I'm just saying as a fan, I'll take the quarterback. People are like, hey, is that good?
Sure.
Jalen Hurts and championships over, I mean, the Chargers, Dan Fouts, Phillip Rivers, Drew Brees. Justin Herbert.
Yeah.
No championships. The one time they got the Super Bowl was Stan freaking Humphreys at quarterback. So, I don't know. You know, talk amongst yourselves. To me, it's a team sport.
Can't wait to see who Rex Road rips tomorrow. That does it for us on the program today. Next Man Up with Jake Lyman coming up next. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.